It is Dukes and Bell live from Buffalo's Cafe. It's been a fun day up here in Flowery Branch, man, hanging out. 3446 Winder Highway. We met so many cool people, Mike, and the kid Knox. We thought he had left, and he hadn't. He came back, and Mike, you're teasing this kid. This kid said he wanted to go on air.
He was only going on the radio, brother. And by the way, this kid is built like Robert Newhouse. If you remember the Cowboys of the 70s. I mean, this kid is built like a bowling ball. By the way, shout out to our guys shooting pool. These guys, they lived up here since it was like a two-lane road.
Yeah.
And that was all you had up here. Isn't it funny, though, Carl? You and I get a kick, and Carl does, too, about accents and voices.
Where are you from?
These guys are from West. I say Western New York. They say upstate. Anything north of 125th Street is considered Canada to my dad. But these guys from Buffalo, everybody in this group sounds like Joe Pesci in Casino. It's that Rust Belt accent. It starts in Rochester. It goes all the way to Chicago. You know, it's like, you better have that hole dug in a desert, otherwise you'd be out there digging holes all night.
They all sound that way. And it's funny because one of the guys was like, I went back home. He said, I went back to Buffalo. I didn't even know what people I was talking to, what they were saying, because it's been so long since I'd been up there. But it's true, man. Good dudes. And they're out here. This is like their night out, man, hanging out up here. They got pool tables
come
and all
this
stuff going on.
Come up here, shoot some pool. I got a sledgehammer break. I can play some 8-ball. You want to lose some money? Get over here.
Hey, man, Roger Goodell says ESPN has purchased the rights to the Red Zone name, allowing them to use the format for other sports.
Right.
This is interesting. He says, including the potential Red Zone style broadcast for college football. Would you be interested in that?
Well, yeah, I mean.
He says they have the ability to do it. A lot of people think they're going to screw Red Zone up. Either way, this is what Goodell said today. And remember, this deal came out. Everybody was talking about it the last few days where ESPN, you know, takes over the NFL network and all of this stuff. Guys, we don't know technically how this is going to work, right? Personnel-wise, talent-wise, all the stuff the shows you watch and like. But ultimately, this is interesting, I think, from Roger Goodell talking about they have the potential to do a red zone-style broadcast for college football.
I mean, that's something which I think fans would be very, to your point, would be very much interested in. It's the NFL product I get worried about, and it's just my two cents worth. You may feel differently. If you're younger and you didn't see ESPN in its prime or the other networks in their prime, I'm always worried about ESPN getting their hands on anything and devaluing it, screwing it up, jamming their talent down your throats. What I'm more concerned in the short term, Carl, is, you know, paying that paywall to get ESPN, and now they're going to have a zillion commercials, and they'll do what NASCAR does. You'll have side-by-side. So you'll be in the red zone with a commercial running.
Sure.
So unless you know, if you're on a 70-inch TV or bigger, you're fine. But I just don't trust ESPN not to screw it up. Darren Revell was on Steakhouse this morning talking about the business of the deal. The NFL takes 10% stake in ESPN because it's always the dollars. And you and I talked about this going back almost a week and a half. If you listen to Dukes and Bell every day on Guy Talk, we had the story that they're losing money or they're not seeing the profits. The owners see the television part of it as kind of a black hole. So we'll see how ESPN brands the games are going to pick up, 7 games at all. And are they going to simply turn around? The NFL, Carl, will some games wind up and be sold to Netflix and Amazon? Or will all of that those games wind up on ESPN?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. They will monetize them because you're talking about games, right? You're talking about real games, and they're going to monetize them. So
some of those Sunday morning games are those NFL Network games.
Yes, that is something that
like
I
ours.
Think – Correct, 9:15 or 9 a.m. or whatever it is over there in Berlin. But, yeah, I think they'll monetize them. I think this will look different from that standpoint because of the games. The other programming stuff, I just don't know. It is interesting.
But they also, again, smart ownership, they're taking a 10% stake. Or, you know,
That's the big part.
Get a piece of the action on ESPN.
That's exactly right. Hey, man, we want you to hear what Caleb McGarry had to say to our midday guys, Andy and Randy, giving you a full scope of all the stuff going on at Falcons training camp. By the way, 6:30, we have Atlanta United. It's League's Cup match. It's their last one tonight. And so that's happening at 6:30 as the pregame will come your way. But before we get to that, Andy and Randy had a chance to catch up with Caleb McGarry. And part of it was asking him about the intensity of today's practice.
Pick up in the reps today, a little more intense. It's good. We need it.
Well, congratulations. The great news that you received earlier this week. We had some fun with your comments like when training camp started. What did he say?
He said, quote, "You'll never find somebody more willing to be paid in all your life."
Well, that means someone's going to hand you a stack of money. Are you going to argue?
No.
No, I am not.
I
am not.
But congratulations to you. And
thank you.
Like that. But now, obviously, it's here now. The season's here. We know you were out for a while during the offseason and things like that. Was the contract was that any part of that, or was it just you were just trying to do something else?
I mean, my agent was in talks, but it wasn't, you know, it was very much not set in stone. You know, hey, this may happen, it may not. Just, you know, don't worry about it. Do what you need to do, kind of thing. And that's just the way I approach it. Is if it happens, cool. If not, you know, I still have a season to play in front of me. So, you know, whatever.
So that wasn't like a quiet holdout because there was speculation.
No,
Caleb's
no.
trying to strong arm him. All right,
I'm not that exciting. I'm not that excited. I'm a much more boring person than that.
Well, one, I mean, the contract obviously is very important for sure, and then being here for two more years after this one. But you also had some bone spurs removed from the ankle this offseason.
Yep.
I saw your comments about how much better you're feeling. Tell us about that process and how you are feeling.
I mean, it's nothing dramatic. There's bone spurs are just a buildup of calcium over time from, you know, severe impacts and stuff. And after long enough, they get big enough, they can be painful. I've had them for a number of years, and it was just time to get rid of them. My ankle feels much better than it did before the surgery. I'm very happy with it. I'm pretty much it. It's nice.
Well, last year, obviously, you started before, and Kirk was the quarterback at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Then Michael comes in the last three parts, and now he's the unquestioned starter this year. How have you seen him grow from those three games to now as far as leadership and other things?
I mean, you know, definitely a lot. He's really stepping into his role. He's getting much more confident, you know, much more comfortable with the play call and commanding the huddle, and I think he's doing very well.
Falcons right tackle Caleb McGarry joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy as practice just wrapped up. One thing that is, you know, it's being talked about a lot. I don't know how big of a deal it actually is. You're probably the person to tell us, is the fact that he's left-handed. And so you being on the right side, okay, you're laughing.
No, this hasn't come up at all. No, not even once.
Does him being a lefty change your job?
No. My job was to not give up sacks before, and it's still not. That's the boring answer. You know, will his back be to me a little more often? Maybe. Honestly, I doubt it. Shotgun and a shotgun offense, you're gonna if you have to read the field at all, you're gonna pivot. So he's gonna be turned towards me. He's gonna be turned away from me. Honestly, the biggest deal is to just make sure I am in good position as often as I can be for as long as I can be.
Tell me, because I always tell everybody that you guys are the closest group on the entire football team, that offensive line and everything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, Jake's been there forever. You got a great player beside you. New center, nice one. Now, he's played a lot and everything mm-hmm. like that, but he's coming to the where he's the starter, the center one and everything. But what is it about how he's been this year so far in camp as far as now he has to redirect and do all those things?
I mean, he's been great. You know, he's played a lot of ball for us, and he's been here a long time. He's very familiar with the offense, and, you know, to his credit, he's stepped in and, you know, without really missing a beat. It's been good.
When we talk about continuity on the offensive line like Randy was talking about, like, is that – and maybe it's everybody. Maybe the answer is everybody, but I don't know. Is that more beneficial to you and the guys next to you? Is that more beneficial to a young quarterback? Like, who benefits most from having that continuity on the line?
I mean, the boring answer is everybody, because as an offensive line, you have a job for – you know, you're responsible for setting the table pretty much all the time, and that – largely falls on the center. He is basically the field general, directs the offense, you know, whatever the scheme is. He sets the calls for the offense, lays out the table. And as a more veteran offense than you would be if you were younger, you know, you've been around the block, and you can just help each other more is really what it lends to. You have more experience, and you understand how each other operates, and, you know, with something, you know, we're his offensive line. We're happy to help, you know, in any way we can.
How has it been going against his defense, especially these two new young pass rushes?
All right. Sorry.
That's true.
Sorry. Long day. Long day.
That's true.
I got a big nose. All right.
I think that's the first loogie.
It is the first
so
one.
That's
it is the first one.
The christening loogie. That's not a title I had aspired to at any time in my life. It's been good. You know, there's more competition this year. I'm excited to see what they can do in the season when we really get going and bullets are live. Yeah, you know, I'm see where we go.
I know people always ask you, playing the position that you play, like, who are some of the best edge guys you played against and all that?
No, not even once.
And your answer is always, well, they're all really good.
Yes.
And then you, then they force you to say, I don't know, something about, like, T.J. Watt or something like that. But you're going against these guys now, right? Mm. And one of the answers you give that I love is, good, they're in the NFL. And if you slip up, they're going to get past and get to the quarterback.
Yes.
Specifically, like, when you're talking about Pierce and physically, or Ebikadie or Trice, a guy like you, like, what are some of the things that these guys bring to the table that, I don't know, I want to compare them to the greats, but you know what I mean? Like, some of the things that make them so difficult to stop.
I mean, this is not throwing shade on anybody, but you're comparing Hall of Fame quality pass rushers.
Right.
Like, it's not that, you know, Braylon, I think he's going to contribute. I think Pierce will contribute. Walker, Ebikadie, you know, all of those guys have the ability and can and will contribute, but, you know, they haven't had pro football yet in a game. They have not been under the lights with, you know, a quality offensive tackle that they have never played against before, you know, essentially fighting for their job, you know, on the big show. So it's not really fair to slap a label on them and say whether they're going to be, you know, all-stars or not, compare them to these other guys that have been around for and have, you know, been studs for that long.
Right.
I certainly think they have a tremendous amount of physical talent. I especially think Walker is going to be I think he has a tremendous amount of ability. And, you know, he's young, so is Pierce. They are both physical talent. It's just going to take time to develop. You know, like everybody. Nobody walks into the NFL and just, like, burns the world down, you know. Like, once in a very blue moon, somebody will, you know, be able to, you know, fit perfectly in a defensive or offensive scheme, you know, for whatever reason. But it's just going to I have absolute confidence that they'll be able to contribute in a huge way, though, you know, over time. And maybe, you know, maybe they will come out game and just absolutely, you know, light it up. But until then, we'll see.
Last one for me. And you know the real people. Offensive line, you like going forward more than you like going backwards. Are there times on the sideline where you yourself or somebody goes, Coach Led, like, damn it, tell Zach to run the damn ball?
You're asking the most biased person in our offense probably that question. I'm just going to level with you.
Why are you the most biased, you think?
Because there is no situation that I don't think we should run the ball in.
Right.
Third and long, run it, man. Give me wide zone right, wide zone left. I don't care. Give me a gap scheme.
Right.
Run that bad boy. You know, we can do it. You know, football is a organic team game of strategy, right? No matter how much I want to run the ball, there are times it's better not to.
Right.
You know, whether I like it or not. And just, you got to be able to do it all.
Hey, Carl and I were just talking. Listen, that's one of the best Caleb McGarry interviews I think I've heard, Carl, since he got signed.
Yes.
As, you know, drafted and then signed. And we said this a few weeks ago. Yeah, he got a little sideways with the story that D-Led kind of ran with a couple years ago, which I think kind of soured him with the media. But his commitment to this team, the way this team loves this guy, and he's a no-nonsense dude. He is literally the epitome of the tough offensive lineman you want. And as we said, whether you look at the PFF numbers and you figure out what that means or not, they're banking on him to protect Michael Penix's blind side, and he's there for the job. He does love the philosophy of running the football.
Yeah, I love what he said right there. If you're asking the wrong person, because I'd run it every blinking play. because running the football allows you to be the aggressor. You're not on your heels. You are moving towards guys and knocking guys out. And so, Caleb McGarry, let's hope he has a great year. He's been rewarded right with this extension, 2 years, $30 million. Let's hope he has a great year. But, yes, the attitude is certainly there. Great stuff with Andy and Randy. By the way, all of our interviews online at Odyssey.com. Make sure you subscribe to Dukes and Bell. You can hear all of our stuff. And you get those notices, guys, when stuff's going on, and you don't miss anything with the show. Coming up, we got more to talk about, more to get to before we throw it to Atlanta United tonight. Leagues Cup action, Atlanta United in action. We'll get you caught up on other headlines of the day and, of course, the Braves back in action tonight, finishing up this series with the Brewers. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.